Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamiyo, text number 30. Nishamya Mriyamanasya Mukato Hari Kirtanam Praturanama Maharaja Parshada Sahasapatan. Nishamya, hearing. Mriyamanasya, of the dying man. Mukataha, from the mouth. Hari Kirtanam, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bratu Nama, the holy name of their master. Maharaja, O King. Parshada, the order carriers of Vishnu. Sahasa, immediately, Apatan arrived. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, the order carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, merely arrived when they heard the holy name of their master from the mouth of the dying Ajamila, who had certainly chanted without offense because he had chanted in complete anxiety. Please repeat. My dear King, the order carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, merely arrived when they heard the holy name of their master from the mouth of the dying Ajamila, who had certainly chanted without offense because he had chanted in complete anxiety. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Hari Kirtanam Nisham Yapatan Katam Bhutasya Bratur Nama Bhuruvataha. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu came because Ajamila had chanted the holy name of Narayana. They did not consider why he was chanting. While chanting the name of Narayana, Ajamila was actually thinking of his son, but simply because they had heard Ajamila chanting the holy Lord's name, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, immediately came for Ajamila's protection. Hari Kirtana is actually meant to glorify the holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. Ajamila, however, did not glorify the form, qualities, or paraphernalia of the Lord, simply chanted the holy name. Nevertheless, that chanting was sufficient to cleanse him of all sinful activities. As soon as the Vishnu Dutas heard their master's name being chanted, they immediately came. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Vijayadvaj Tirtha remarks, Anena putra sneham antarena prachina drishta balad udbhutaya bhaktya Bhagavan nama sahankirtanam kritam iti gyatyate. Ajamila chanting the name of Narayana because of his excessive attachment to his son. Nevertheless, because of his past good fortune, having rendered devotional service to Narayana, he apparently chanted the holy name in full devotional service and without offenses. Nishamya Mriyamanasya Mukato Hari Kirtanam Bratur Nama Maharaja Parshada Sahasapatan. My dear King, the order carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, merely arrived when they heard the holy name of their master from the mouth of the dying Ajamila, but certainly chanted without offense because he had chanted in complete anxiety. There's the main point. chant Hare Krishna, somehow or another. Then there's the secondary points, the more subtle points that are mentioned here. The difference between Nama Parad, Nama Bas, and Shudanam. It's obvious that Ajamil, although we don't have a detailed history of his childhood, he was not a pure devotee, even in his childhood. He was a dutiful Brahmin who also happened to worship Shalagram Shila, but it's not mentioned that he had actual knowledge about Shalagram, about Lord Narayan. Although he must have had some knowledge about Narayan, because you can't worship a Shalagram Shila without some kind of understanding. But it was obviously not a very deep understanding. Otherwise, he wouldn't become, even if he had become a victim to the prostitute, he wouldn't have become such a victim to the prostitute that he gave up his lawful wife and then disregarded his parents and became a complete rogue. He had some contact with devotional service, but it was obviously not very deep. On the other hand, as I mentioned, everyone is looking for shelter. Ajamila is taking shelter of his son, obviously didn't work very well. The Yamadutas were not very impressed that maybe his 5-year-old son was coming to protect him. And I'm sure Ajamila figured out after a few moments his son was not going to help him very much. Nor could he help his son. And therefore he chanted the name of Narayan. It seems to me very much in the same way that Gajendra, when he was being bitten by the crocodile, in complete distress, called out for Vishnu, remembering the mantra he had chanted in his previous life. Although, even as King Indradumya, obviously there was some defect, and even then, in his understanding, inasmuch that in his life as Gajendra, he didn't even know who the Supreme was, although he was chanting the mantra. But the mantra was such, and because he had no previous conceptions of what he was trying to accomplish by chanting the mantra except to get protection, therefore it proved to be effective that he had the right mantra and he had the feeling that go along with it, the feeling of trying to take shelter, so that it proved to be effective. Generally in the material world, that's our problem. We don't know who to take shelter of. We're taking shelter of so many different things, just in case Krishna consciousness doesn't work. We have our backup. So, therefore, we have our bank balance, we have our family, we have some of our society with the health insurance system. In the case I'm having difficulty taking shelter of Krishna because I don't really know if Krishna is really going to help me ultimately, therefore I have so many backups in case Krishna fails, and we have our second shelter and our third shelter in case that fails. And if all else fails, then maybe I'll go back to Krishna again. Now, if we have no shelter other than Krishna, then we're actually following Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharma prajaja mame kam sharanam vraja ahang tvam sarva papebhyo mokshi syama masucha. Give up everything else and surrender to me. But we're supposed to do it without anxiety. Ajamil apparently was calling out for his son, didn't work, so he started to call out for Narayan, but he didn't exactly know who Narayan was, so he couldn't really call out for Narayan in the same way that a pure devotee would call out for Narayan out of love and devotion. So he was calling out for something that his conception of Narayan, but it was sufficient, close enough, that the Vishnu Dutas came to protect him. He knew who he was calling for, but didn't know very much about Narayan, or he didn't have very much devotion. It was just his last his only chance that maybe Narayan could help him, whoever Narayan might be. But Narayan and the Vishnu Dutas understood that. Although in one sense he was calling for Narayan, in the other sense, if you don't know who you're calling for, you're not really calling for the person because you don't know who the person is. So it's simultaneously one but different. For that reason, our commentators could say, seemingly, to me at least, opposite things. He was calling because of his devotion and offenseless, because of his previous devotional activities, and because he was chanting offenselessly in full devotion. So, in one sense, they're saying, previously they were saying, Prabhupada says in the purport that our acharyas say, he wasn't chanting to Narayan. And at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says he was, because of his past good fortune and having rendered devotional service to Narayan, apparently chanted the holy name in full devotion and without offense. Full devotion doesn't mean he was fully devoted to Krishna. In one sense, it means he was completely fixed on what he was doing. It's not that he developed love of God spontaneously, but he had no other shelter, so that's called full devotion. And he had no alternative motive. He wasn't thinking, let Vishnu come, let the Vishnu Dutas come, and after they protect me, I'll go back and I'll have a couple of more sons. Maybe Narayan, call them Vishnu Duta 1 and Vishnu Duta 2 in gratitude. No, he wasn't thinking that what's going to happen after I'm saved. And no, he was in such anxiety that there was no offense. He was simply shelterless and he was looking for some shelter. He was looking for shelter for Narayan, whoever Narayan might be, however he might help him. And therefore, it was full devotion and without offense. And that was due to his good fortune of having rendered service to Narayan in the past, although it may not have been on the highest level of pure devotion. And the result was that he didn't exactly attain to the kingdom of God. He simply got free from the Yamadutas, which in his particular situation was quite auspicious. On the other hand, he was conscious of what was happening, and therefore he realized that if he followed the same path he was already on, his friends, or his not-so-friendly people, called the Vishnu Dutas, would come and visit him again. And he didn't really want to get a second visit. His introduction to the Vishnu, the Yamadutas were sufficient to convince him to sober up and go the right path. Therefore, after that, he went to the Bhadragashram, I believe, and there he became serious. And he perfected his devotional service, and then at the end of his life, he went back to Godhead. Obviously, he became really serious, unless it was actually Satya Yuga and people lived for longer, because he was already 88 years old. We don't expect him to have lived that much longer. He wasn't thinking, I'll really chant seriously for the next 30 years. He probably didn't have 30 years. But he became quite serious, and he became a pure devotee. So, therefore, we should conclude, or at least I conclude, that the chanting is very effective, but we should also do some service. Just to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death may not prove to be very helpful. We can't expect the Vishnu Dutas to come. First of all, unless we are innocent, unless we do some service, there are many factors, then we're not going to really only take shelter of Vishnu at the time of death, of Narayan or Krishna. We're not that much in control of our emotions at the time of death. Krishna Twadiya Padapankaja Panjaranta. Because at the time of death, everything becomes disturbed. And we can see that even when we're not about to die, but when things become disturbed, we don't necessarily, in full devotion, without offense, take shelter of Vishnu, even when things are not so bewildering to us. There is always the backups we're thinking. Mommy. All else fails, mommy will protect me. There's my bed and my room, and even the Hare Krishnas don't love me anymore, that my mommy loves me. So one may think like that, but then at the time of death we might chant mommy louder than Krishna. Or mommy and Krishna. Mommy Krishna, mommy Krishna. Krishna Krishna, mommy, mommy. Just in case one fails, the other one will might be able to save me. Again, that the purpose of this story is not to confuse us or to cause us to have different doubts who to take shelter of, but is to give us some idea that the chanting is quite effective. That even if someone is not so qualified, and even if one is not so sincere, because he doesn't know what to be sincere about, but if one is somehow or another comes in contact with devotional service and is not interested in, because Ajamil was innocent, doesn't have so many misconceptions, preconceptions, and it develops some degree of faith in something, although it may not be very clear what that faith is, but there's some faith that this is a possible shelter and the ultimate shelter, whoever it might be, whatever it might be. If you get the right ultimate shelter, and if you put it into enough anxiety, and you have no other choice but to take shelter of that shelter, then you might get some degree of success called Namabhas. And that will save one from going to hell. But of course, our aim of life is not just not to go to hell. It would be quite unfortunate if our whole aim of life is just to avoid hell. That we have to have some higher objective than that. And Ajamil had the good fortune. First of all, he wasn't trying to exactly avoid hell. He was in a very difficult situation. He's trying to definitely avoid the difficult situation, take shelter somewhere else. But for ourselves, we have to have the aim for becoming Krishna conscious. Even we think my problem is solved, I've been chanting long enough, Yamaraj, I check my appointment list and there's no appointment with Yamaraj, so I feel pretty safe. But that can't be our aim of life, to avoid going to hell, and we check that off, I'm safe, and therefore let me go out and do whatever I want to do now. So Prabhupada just finished chanting his 16 rounds on his beads, and then after he put the final counter bead down, he threw his beads on the table and said, now I've chanted my 16 rounds. I can do any damn thing I want. So that would not be very auspicious. On the other hand, we have to segregate that still we're chanting Hare Krishna, or if we can get others to chant Hare Krishna, there's nothing more auspicious than that in the material world. And more auspicious than that is to get people to understand why they're chanting Hare Krishna and to who they're chanting Hare Krishna and how to chant Hare Krishna. It's only the very beginning, just to get people to chant Hare Krishna. It's not that I've chanted Hare Krishna or I distributed a book to this person and now my business is done. And they come up to me later on and say, can you answer my question? Say, I don't have time, I got to save someone else. Which I understand, until we go back to the spiritual world, no one in this society, no one in this world is safe. And the only way to go back to the spiritual world is not only to avoid hell or some other unpleasant circumstance, it's to actually cultivate knowledge of pure devotional service and perform it, specifically the Sankirtan movement. Engage as many people as possible and engage ourselves particularly and becoming a sincere servant of a servant of the servants of Krishna. That's the only way we're actually going to be elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness and begin real life again. As long as we vacillate between being a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna and being a servant of my mind, my false ego, my material intelligence, my gross material senses, and others in a similar circumstance that I am, as long as I remain a servant of the material world in some form, or even to some degree, then we haven't really surrendered to Krishna. And therefore, we have to come back to the material world again. Ashvadadana purusha dharmasya saparantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmane. Those who are on this path, those who are not faithful to this path, they cannot obtain me, and therefore they come back to repeated birth and death again. So if our aim is to become a Brahma and get 4 heads or 4 million heads, we might be able to achieve that through pure devotional service, like Gopakumara and the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, but we'll never be happy or satisfied. Even when we get any material objective, we can only be happy if we actually revive our actual eternal relation with Krishna. Otherwise, we're not considered to be completely successful. So I'll stop that. Any questions, comments? Yes. He'd probably go to hell. Because although it seemed that due to his anxiety, he had counteracted the reactions to his sinful activities, at least in that lifetime or some lifetimes. But still, eventually you go back to hell again. Because if you don't have knowledge about Krishna, you have to come back to somewhere in the material world. Even if you merge in Brahman, eventually fall out of Brahman, you start the whole cycle of sinful activities again. And therefore the Yamadutas will pick you up sooner or later. Therefore, yenyeya virindaksha vimuktamani nas tvadasta bhavad avashuddha buddhaya aruri krichena parampadam tadam patanyanya dadrita yushmarangraha. Even when rises up to Brahman, if we don't have pure knowledge of Krishna, then our intelligence is still contaminated. And therefore, will eventually fall down again. The elephant bathing is hasti snan. The elephant bathes very nicely in the water, but then it comes back to the land and throws dirt all over itself again. So, without the higher taste of actual love for Krishna, then we're going to have to love something in the material world. If it's not Krishna, it'll be something else. Yes.
The Bhagavad Gita just said, in Bhagavad Gita it said that if you remember Krishna, you get the same body as he has. So, did Ajamil got the same body? And then
if he perfected his devotional service and went back to the spiritual world, he got some kind of spiritual body. Doesn't necessarily get exactly. I mean, most people, if he goes to Vaikuntha, most of them, according to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, many of them have a similar form to, if they get Swarupya liberation as Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan. But others, it says that they appear in different forms of Lord Narayan. Some of them look like Varaha, some of them look like Nrisimhadev, some of them look like Kurma. So it depends. It's not. You go there, everyone looks the same. I mean, most of them. In Vaikuntha, it says they get Swarupya. But some of them just get other forms. Sharasti, Samipya, whatever. And some of them look like demigods. But they all have Satchitananda vigraha, spiritual, eternal, blissful, spiritual forms there, whatever form they get. It's not that you become a tortoise and you're just kind of crawling along. It says that even the grass there in the Krishna Loka, they can speak, they can walk, they can do anything. Although generally they don't do it because they want to perfectly engage in Krishna's pastimes. It would be kind of weird if all the grass were talking to each other during the Ratha dance. It would be a distraction. So they generally don't do that. They play their part.
You mentioned before that we're supposed to always take shelter in the holy name, and that sometimes we have so many different shelters. And I was wondering, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying that we should always find balance on all levels and include our nature in the service for Krishna, also material, emotional, mental, spiritual level. If in devotee care, if we see that somebody, I don't know, cuts their finger, are we supposed to say, sorry Prabhu, it's your karma and you're not this body anyway, and why don't you just bleed to death and I'll pray for you? Or we're supposed to give them the patch? It's material.
Well, there might be a other way of looking at it. In other words, one thing doesn't negate everything else. As far as going to the extreme, that, in other words, nothing happens by accident. We shouldn't start thinking, "Oh, Prabhu, I know it was it was really an accident. Krishna was sleeping, and I know you have all, you don't have any karma because you're a devotee. Therefore, mm-hmm. It couldn't have happened to you due to your past misdeeds." No, that may be true. We're getting reactions, but at the same time, we also will get a reaction if we're insensitive. It's not by accident that we're there also. We should try to help them. That's what Krishna wants us to do. Someone may be suffering due to their past misdeeds, a devotee, but then we should try to assist them also. Because that's our opportunity to render some service to Krishna.
So it's not only Maha Mantra, it's the patch and Maha Mantra.
It's what?
I mean, if a person cuts their finger, we're not supposed to just say, I'll pray for you, but we actually give them the patch to stop bleeding.
Yeah, out of service to Krishna.
Yes.
Because we understand this is Krishna's devotee, it's Krishna's body. We should try to do some service to Krishna's devotee and to Krishna's body.
Okay.
And this is Krishna's patch he gave me to give to this devotee. So I should be an instrument to serve this devotee in that way. Not that I'm your savior. Krishna couldn't do it. He didn't have a patch, but I happen to have a patch.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, we should see it in Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura tells us that we should have some balance, it's not that Krishna consciousness inherently is unbalanced. Mm. And we tell people to chant Hare Krishna, it means we tell them to forget about everything else. As if the devotees of the Lord, you know, unless, as if Krishna didn't create Varnashram, as if Krishna didn't create the sun and the moon and everything else and the parents and everything. As if Krishna is just, you know, he came here and said, just chant Hare Krishna. Anything else happens, just keep on chanting. He gives so much instructions. He created the Vedas, sacrifice, everything. Family life, everything to gradually elevate us. So, to give us an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. So Krishna is not a fanatic. Nor are Krishna's devotees supposed to be fanatics. They're supposed to be intelligent.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Krandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.